Happy Monday morning. We have the privilege today to hear from Sarah Hoos. Sarah is the new assistant director of the Emmaus Scholars Program. Her and her husband Jeff just moved to Holland about a year ago from Chicago. They are both attending Kelvin Theological Seminary, a great place to get a good theological education. We are glad for them. But Sarah, one thing you need to know about Sarah today, it's her birthday. Come on. Now, Sarah, do you want me to tell the age? Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
Fine? What do you guys think? Anybody want to take a guess?
24.
Oh, you're loving on her. That's good. 29 years old today. A great age. Hey, I'm going to pray for Sarah, and then we get to listen to the word of the Lord. God, thank you. For the gift of life, and thank you for the gift of Jesus. We bless you. And now, with our sister Sarah now, speak through her. Our ears are open. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome, amen. Sarah, one more time.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Just like Paul had shared, I am here with the Emmaus Scholars Program, along with Dr. Mark Husbands, who is the director of the program. Where are all my Emmaus Scholars out there? Yay! Okay, there's a few, you guys. We're all about exploring what it means to live for the kingdom of God and how to love and serve Jesus with all of our lives every day. And we're working it out in community. So these are a group of sophomores and juniors, and if you're interested, let us know. Just to give you a little bit of background, a year and a half ago, my husband Jeff and I heard from the Lord, and he said, pack up, move to Holland, Michigan. We're like, okay, what's going on in Holland, Michigan? So we obeyed, and we came here by faith, and he's just been blessing us ever since. And it's such a joy and a blessing to be a part of this community here. You guys are a special group of people on the Lord's heart. So thank you for letting us be here with you guys. Just a little bit of background of where I come from personally. I was born to two really radical Christ followers. My parents are church planners and pioneering missionaries. They are two Koreans who met in Germany, was married in Scotland, took a 9-month honeymoon to preach the gospel across Europe. Then from Europe, with no money, by the way, then from Europe, they moved to California to start planting churches with $100 in their pocket and a bag of clothes. That's it. So I was born into that reality. I didn't know anything different. So you could say some high standards were kind of set for me as a kid as to what it meant to follow Jesus. But ever since I was young, I knew I was called into full-time ministry, and I love the Lord. I followed the Lord, and I just wanted to serve him and glorify him and advance his kingdom. So I was out to, you know, take up every mission trip opportunity I can get, every ministry serving opportunity I can get. I knew I wanted to go to college to study the Bible and then go to seminary right after that. I went to Taylor University and majored in biblical studies. And in my junior year, I got connected with a mission organization. And this exposure really flipped my world upside down. It exposed me to some of the ugliest realities and injustices that happens in the world. And as soon as I got connected with them, where they were serving Jesus amongst the poorest of the poor, I knew I could give my life to that. I knew that I can forget about seminary for the time being and give my life to wanting to save orphans off the streets, save victims of the sex slave trade out of the brothels in the red light districts, and helping find homes for elderly women who are abandoned on the streets by their families. And so I traveled around the world to all the various international locations where they did this. And they were on the grounds, literally. They were risking their lives. These missionaries were risking their lives to save these people's lives who were living under the harshest conditions that you could possibly imagine the face of this earth. And so I loved it. I gave myself to this. And I was like, Lord, I can commit my whole entire life doing this. This is for you and your kingdom. I want to do this for the rest of my life. So one sudden, unexpected day, I was faced with some of the leaders of the organization, and they brought some accusations before me that were completely untrue, and it left me absolutely devastated, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They basically went so far as to say, they believe the enemy led me to the organization to destroy its mission. And it was an absolute shock and horror to me because I wanted to give my life to the mission of this organization for the Lord. So after they had finally come around and believed, you know, they had falsely accused me. They asked me to stay with the organization, and I said, I'm sorry, but the trust has already been broken and the damage has been done. I can't stay. I can't work with you guys. So I resigned, and from that point, what started off with feeling betrayed and a little bit of resentment and bitterness grew into anger. It grew into hatred, and I walked around with this ugly hatred and just resentment towards them. And it went from wanting to reject them along with all other Christians in the church as well. And then that led me to want to also reject God. I thought, God, how could you lead me to this? You knew what was going to happen. I came here to serve you in your kingdom. How could you allow this to happen? So I put up my angry fist towards God, and I basically denied the Lord and said, Lord, you're probably out there, but you probably don't care about me, so I don't want to care about you and your purpose anymore. And I walked away completely and turned my back towards him. And that led me from one downward spiral to another, where I attempted to find meaning in this life apart from the Lord. I tried to find my identity separate from the one who gives me my identity. I chased after all the futile things, the stupid things that this world chases after, thinking that that could satisfy me. Little did I know that nothing can satisfy me, and I just came to a place of utter emptiness, and I was at the pit. Well, one day, I heard an audible voice, and the voice said, go back to the one with the words of life. And I was like, oh, that means I have to go back to the church, because they have the words of life. So I forced myself back into the church, and there was nothing within me that wanted to sit in church, but I knew the Lord was telling me, go back there, that's where you're going to find life again. I sat under the teaching for a year, and I couldn't even worship, sing, pray, nothing. All I could do was sit in my seat and cry, week after week, and he began my healing process through that. After a while, I felt like I wanted to pray again. And I came to find out I couldn't pray. I wanted to pray, but I couldn't pray. And the Lord taught me, there is nothing you can do apart from me. Nothing. Not even pray, not even worship, not even sing. And it's such a gift and a grace from the Lord. Until a group of Christians laid their hands on me, and they broke off the evil oppression that was over me, and I could pray again after that point. And then I was able to start really talking with the Lord and walking with him again. As my trust in him grew gradually over time, I knew, oh man, I gotta forgive my betrayers now. I have to deal with that issue that I had kind of put by the wayside. And so one day at an altar call at church, the pastor was saying, Christ absorbed the cost for your sins. Why don't you absorb the cost of your betrayer's sins? And I knew it was like the Lord speaking right at me. And so I went up to the altar and I prayed, Lord, I want to completely forgive them and release them. And up to that point, I had attempted in my own strength to do everything I could to release them, to forgive them. I would wake up praying, Lord, I bless them, I forgive them. And by the end of the day, I was like, Lord, I hate them, I hate them. Can't get over this. But at that altar call, when I came before the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to take this from me, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and once and for all, in an instant, just like that, completely wiped my heart clean of all unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, resentment that had grown in my heart. And I knew a miracle had happened. I was once and for all set free from that wretched sin. And from that point forward, the Lord had continued to redeem my life. All the things that was stolen by the enemy, he continued to restore back to me 100-fold. You know, I learned what it was like to not even be able to pray. The Lord positioned me in my old church to be the leader of the intercession prayer ministry, where we would fast and pray every Friday for the kingdom of God and for the church. And through that, he would grow my heart for his body, to love his body again. And from there, I was able to meet my husband, who's like a dream come true to me, and he blessed me with our marriage. One word of advice, you want to find a spouse that loves the Lord more than you and anyone else in their lives, or anything else. And that's the kind of husband he blessed me with. So every little thing, one at a time, the Lord had continued to restore. And I want to remind you guys and tell you guys today that the Lord is absolutely crazy about each one of you. He loves you so much. He loves you just as uniquely as the way he created you. And there is no sin or no struggle that's too large for him. That is the gospel of Jesus' grace. That's the gospel. He's here to take your sins away, literally, and to replace it with his life and his grace and power. So I want to invite whoever wants to receive prayer, my husband and I and the chaplains and Paul will be at the front. Please come up and get some prayer if you need to release some things off your chest. We're here for you guys. But he loves you, and I want you to know that. And he wants all of your life, not just a part of it, but 100% of it, because you are his. Will you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we rejoice in you, our Savior and our hope. We thank you so much, Father, that you always call us back to yourself by your love and by your kindness that leads to repentance. Thank you so much, Lord, that you relentlessly pursue us until we surrender all of ourselves to you, O God. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to wash over every single one of these students, Lord, your love and your words of kindness and life over them, Lord, and reveal to them how much you love them and want all of them for yourself, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather before you and worship you and praise you and glorify your name this morning, Lord, because we know that is a gift and a grace in and of itself, Father. We thank you, Lord, for receiving us just as we are because of the blood of Christ that covers us. We give you all the honor and glory, and we pray that you go before us, Lord, in this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Go in peace.